This episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Not sure you've heard of them. Up-and-coming little restaurant. But they're making it. They're the little engine that could. You know, the moment of bliss when you spot your fries being scooped into the carton and suddenly time slows down. I have that all the time. I love their fries.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
McDonald's fries hit different when they're free. That's another thing I'll tell you. And when they belong to your friends. There's no better feeling than thinking you're out of fries and then you discover extra fries at the bottom of your bag. Or else my son still hasn't finished his fries.
Yeah.
And I'm done with mine. And he used to be weaker than me, so I could just take them.
Yeah.
Now I can't because he's stronger than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no wrong way to eat McDonald's fries, but we all think our way is the best way. And I like stealing them from someone else. That's my favorite way. Get your favorite McDonald's fries today. McDonald's. Check them out sometime. They're everywhere.
For years, I just dreaded going to the dentist. But at Advanced Dentistry, I don't have to. First and foremost, they want you to feel comfortable when you walk in. Like, you'll feel it. Whereas in the past, I might have gone into the dentist and thinking, I might feel some pain at some point. But with IV sedation, it can be something that you don't dread.
If you've been avoiding the dentist because of fear, worry, or just not wanting to be judged, you're not alone. Visit NoFearDentist.com to learn how IV sedation can change your life.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Conan O'Brien!
Wow. Incredible! I had no idea! I didn't know you'd be here! This is amazing! Incredible. That's all I can say. Incredible. They told me this was a storage room, and it's like a surprise party. This is amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Who's from Miami? Are you guys from Miami? No, how many people, just make noise if you're not from Miami. Okay, what the hell's going on? Because yesterday I came out and talked to the crowd and went, yeah, Miami, and they're like, I don't know, we're from Germany. You all, who traveled the furthest to be here? If you think you traveled the furthest, raise your hand. Yes, how far did you travel?
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton. Oh, wait, so you're all from Florida. Oh, well, screw you then. I did a show in Brooklyn, and people were from, remember they were from the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah, somebody came from, like, Venezuela or
something. Yeah, exactly. And these people are like, Boca Raton. How long a drive is Boca Raton? Oh, hour and a half to see the greatest comedian who ever lived, who can't say greatest, but says greatest. No, thank you very much for being here. We're going to have a lot of fun today. And, Blay, it's been pretty crazy since we've been here. I know you're not, any of you have been to Miami before now, but but no, we had a pretty good time last night. We hit a restaurant, and then I'm pretty proud of myself because I managed to avoid the paparazzi. And when I say avoid the paparazzi, I mean they don't give a shit about me. I'm the most boring celebrity, but we come out of the restaurant last night with you and the whole entourage.
Yes.
And there's a paparazzi guy there filming us.
That's right.
And I come out. Yeah, you tell the story. It's your show. You go ahead.
Oh, I was just...
You're wearing the Hawaiian shirt. I'll just stand over here like an asshole.
So sorry. I was just going to say, before we went out, this woman approached me and was like, Mr. O'Brien, there's paparazzi outside. Do you want to go out the back?
Yeah.
And then...
And I was like, no. I want to see what paparazzi looks like. I want to see what this paparazzi thing is all about. So we went out the front, and I brought you all out with me, and then the guy starts filming me, and then I walk up to talk to him, and he puts the camera down. And I guess it's online today. Like, I bored him to death immediately.
You talked to him for like 10 minutes, and then he was like, I gotta go.
He's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, don't you want a picture of me maybe kissing someone who's not my wife? And he's like, nah, I'm good. That's the effect I have on these people. I've walked past guys before who have the long lenses in New York, and they start to lift the camera, and then they go, ah. I'm like, it's digital. You're not waiting. just get one just in there. Like, it's good. We're fine. You're too boring. Hey, Ruthie, how are you? You shooting this on the socials? I don't know what that is. I'm 85 years old. Hi, Instagram. How are you? Okay, well, anyway, that happened. David Hopping, is David Hopping here? This is David's my assistant. Are you?
Yeah.
Who fills in for some? Don't play music for David. That's my music. Here, you stand over there. You're being punished for having your own music when you came out. I didn't say give him music. That's insane. No, we have so much to talk about. I talk about our big paparazzi experience. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait to get away.
Okay, shut up, David.
Conan started to walk and was like, do you want to see the buns? And the camera goes down so fast.
Yes. Give the mic away. There you go.
That's enough, David.
You lost your mic. No. You lost your mic privileges, David. No, he'll get it back. Don't worry. We're going to have such a good time. We're going to have a really good time here. One thing I have to mention. This show is going to drop in March, I believe. Is
yes,
that correct?
That's correct.
So please play along, okay? Don't be like, Merry Christmas. Because when it drops in March, you'll look like we're brain damaged. So don't do that. Just be chill. It's March when this airs, okay? So if I say, man, spring is sprung. You know, play along. Like spring really just sprang, you know? If I say, well, April, only a couple of weeks away, sort of nod and go, yeah, yeah, a couple of weeks away. Boy, these are boring things I'm talking about. If I actually say those things, it means we're in deep trouble. But anyway, that's the plan. It's when is it, David?
What?
Okay. It's March. It's March. Yeah. Too much. You overdid it. Some people came as far as Boca Raton. That's an hour and 20-minute drive. Yeah. Probably running an errand here anyway. So, yeah. And then just came in here and was like, I guess I'll watch him. Yeah. I've never seen the paparazzi photos of him, so I'll check him out in person. All right, well, I guess we should get started, shouldn't we?
Yes. Do you want to
sit? Let's get David up here. David, you want to sit with me for a second? What is this transition music doing? What's it accomplishing?
It's a night. We're playing you over to the stage.
I just stepped up onto this little riser thing, and there has to be a song?
Well, it's
chair's too low. I'm sorry, folks. I got to get it together. I stayed out really late at the clubs.
It's not true.
It's not true.
We dropped you off at the hotel, and then Blay, Ruthie, and I went out.
I know. I went right up to my room and, yeah, watched like just whatever. I forget what I watched.
Agent Cody Banks?
Agent Cody Banks 2.
2?
They go to London.
It's a true story.
Well, anyway, I'm a creep. No, it's what was on when I turned on the TV, and I thought of you because I know you love 90s television.
I do.
You even have a podcast.
I do.
I'd like to, why don't you say the name of your podcast?
Oh, that's so nice. It's called Back to the Best.
Okay. Yeah.
You can all follow us on Instagram at BTDB Podcast. We can pause so the audience can all follow right now.
What are you doing? I just said you can your
Thank
podcast.
You.
There you go. All right. Well, anyway, are you having a good time here in Miami?
I am,
so
yeah.
Far?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all the show we have. Thanks a lot for being here. I'm very excited because I think we should get our guest out here.
Let's do it.
I really do. I think we should do this thing.
Let's do this thing.
I never get to say do this thing, but I'm going to say it now. All right, let me get the correct card. Here we go. Are you folks ready for our guest? And what month is it?
March.
You bet it is. It's March.
It is.
Yeah. Summer's coming on fast.
Sure, that's almost here.
Hey, David, what did you get for Christmas? What was your favorite gift? What about the Maserati I gave you?
Hey, that was so nice. I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad we had to take it back.
Oh.
All right. It was just a stunt.
I hate it here.
I gave him a Maserati and then took it away immediately.
That's the meanest joke ever.
My guest today is a Grammy Award-winning rock and roll Hall of Fame musician and frontman, one of the most successful rock bands of all time. He now has a new single entitled Legendary, as well as a new docuseries I just watched entitled Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story. I'm thrilled he's here today. John Bon Jovi, welcome!
Thank you.
Hi, I'm John Bon Jovi, and I feel mildly amused about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
I need a phone book.
I know. What is it? We're both sinking into these seats. Hello. We both like Mr. Burns.
Yes, excellent. Yes.
I know that we are a similar vintage. I think we were probably born around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And all I ever do is I walk in the room. This is like the best looking man I've ever seen at any age group. And every day I look at my face in the mirror and it's a pumpkin rotting in the sun. I don't know what you're doing. You're drinking the blood of the living, but whatever you're doing, absolutely incredible.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm older than dirt. I've earned this gray hair. At least you're still. Oh,
this
he's
is
got
a wig.
The quaff.
I can just. I just strap this on. It's just Velcro, and it goes on the back. Yeah,
that's me.
No, thank you so much for doing this. You've been very nice to me over the years. You came on the late night show, I think, 7 times. Which I don't.
You guys were incredibly supportive of the band. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And you were even crazy enough to invite Triumph along.
Yes.
It's one of the fans' favorite remotes is Triumph giving you guys endless amounts of shit. And I remembered when Robert Smigel told me, they've invited Triumph. And I said, why would anyone invite him in? He was on the podcast last week, and he spent 15 minutes absolutely ripping me apart. And when he was done, I was
as Triumph.
He had the puppet there ripping me apart. And then when he was done, I was really laughing hard. But when I went home, there was blood in my urine. He attacks and you think you're having a really good time. Right. And then you get home and realize, oh, my God,
he destroyed me.
He absolutely destroyed me.
Triumph.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. At MetLife Stadium. I mean,
he didn't
like come, to a little club somewhere. We took him to the stadium.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I remembered seeing it. You guys were very good sports and fools, I think, to have
them. We loved them.
But I was talking to you backstage that I got to see this documentary about you, the band, how it all got started. And the first thing that struck me, which I could relate to, is how much things change. You get a little older and how much harder you have to work just to stay at the same level. And that's something you talk about. Like, your work ethic is absolutely insane and very admirable because people think being in a rock and roll band and being a massive star would just be fun.
Of course it is.
Of course it's fun. Yeah, I got that from the documentary. You didn't have to work at all. You totally phoned it in.
Yeah.
But it's impressive, like, how much work you have to do.
Well, look, every kid thinks he's a singer because he's in the shower doing it, and then you can do it in a bar, and then you can even make a record. You make a record. Now you've set the bar, and now you have to beat that record every fucking time.
You can watch the swearing a little bit. Oh, this is a podcast for children. Really, it's a kid's show, 5 and 6 years old. Yeah. No, but it is, and it starts out with you doing all these vocal exercises, and you're just talking about, like, yep. 60, the band's been around 40 years, and you do all this work, and I don't even think fans, they're not supposed to know how much work you put into it.
Right. It's supposed to look easy.
Yeah.
But the harder you work, the luckier you get. And, on the other hand, I had an old adage, nobody loved the fat Elvis.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to go out like that. If I'm gonna die, it's going to be, out there doing it the right way, or don't do it.
Right.
Just if you're not going to do it, don't be the fat Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I disagree. I plan to really fall apart and hang around. I'm just hanging around. And we're constantly doing research that shows no one wants me anymore. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to eat these pork chops and get out there.
It's my microphone.
Just embarrass myself.
Yeah.
No, it is a real testament. And also, it is a great story. I think people should watch this because, like anything else, when you see everything that went into it, what I took away from it is you're this kid and you have music teachers in school telling you, you're not a singer. Everyone's telling you you're not a singer and you just are like, uh-huh, yeah, no, I am. You'll see.
Right.
You just keep going in the face of a lot of adversity.
Give a kid a dream. It's dangerous. So It was as simple as that. And at the time, growing up in New Jersey was very different than being in Los Angeles or Manhattan or somewhere that had a big spotlight on you. We were in the shadow of the greatest city in the world with New York City. We were close enough to greatness, but we could craft we could develop our chops. We could learn our craft. We could play other people's music and emulate them until the time when we got to that place where you felt that the hell with it, I'm going to jump off the diving board and see if I can swim. And so that was really important. The time, the late 70s, was a melting pot of great music that was happening. It was a time when a DJ could influence an audience. They had an endless playlist and a microphone. And they could talk to the audience and say, check this out. And a band could break out of a city. It didn't have to be a national thing with a big, you know, push behind it. So all of those things came together at a time for me. But even by the time I was 18, I said, I can't play other people's music anymore. And at 18,
you were a cover band. You were in a cover band, and you're only playing other people's songs. And then you decide.
I'm 18.
Yeah, 18 years old.
That's enough.
And you decide, I'm going to start writing my own stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't even, I have a decent imagination, and I've made my living off of what goes on in my brain. The one thing that is a complete mystery to me, and I've said this to a lot of my musical guests, is songwriting. It's completely magical, and you clearly have this great gift for it, but when you first start, how do you even know what you're doing?
You don't, but I've heard others say that, and it sort of mystifies me because I think, oh, it's really not that hard, but I could never write comedy. Or I could never write a script.
Right.
You know, how difficult that would be to write a script and all of that dialogue or every, you know, intention of each of the characters. But writing a song for me, it starts out very stupid and simple. And you're stealing from everybody. And then you're emulating your heroes. And then you're rhyming Moon, June, and Spoon. And with time.
Hey, I like that song.
That was a hit for me, by the way.
1987, yeah. It went to the top of the charts. Yeah.
You know, until eventually you develop a voice, and then you know you're writing chapters in your own book.
Yeah,
but that's kind of what it is.
When you're looking at those old tapes, 85, 86, and what is it that hits you right away? Is it what you're wearing, the look?
You know, look, my baby pictures were public. Your audiences were not. You know, so I have to live with that.
Yeah,
I'm the poster boy of the 80s. No, I can chuckle at all of that now and really, you know, enjoy the laugh as much as anyone else can. But I think that what I enjoyed the most is that we made the impossible possible by just saying, we can go. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't why. It was why not? We can do this. If you work hard, we can do this. And the film really was great for me because I got to look back at this 40 years in a time capsule. You know, the four parts are, well, as you've seen, and I hope your audience has seen, really telling, because it's all the warts. You know, it's the ups, the downs, it's the hurting, it's the healing.
Any successful band, to be really good, they have to have an element where they're almost tearing each other apart at
times. A couple times.
I don't know what that thing is, but clearly it just is part of the stew of any great band.
Yeah.
And another great music documentary was about the Eagles, and it's just about them. They're all trying to kill each other at different times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're watching Survivor. And but that's the element that seems to be kind of important.
I think it absolutely is. It's a sexless marriage in most rock bands. You know, I mean,
it's a marriage.
Right.
Anyway.
You're with these guys 24/7.
I'm laughing and crying at the same time.
You know, so you're together to the point of frustration, and then there's all the infighting, and success is it's intoxicating, and then it depends on what you do with it.
Yeah,
you know, how many comedians have we seen, or actors, or singers that get a taste of that, and then they fuck up, or you realize what you're doing, and you go on. I remember telling a story about the Beatles, mm-hmm. that they were the archetype that you wish that John had lived, because would they have gotten back together, or would they have had a healing because they had seen someone else somewhere get fixed.
Yep.
Because the Eagles were a great example, right? 15 years of not being together, and then they get back together, and they're still touring.
Yeah.
You know, every great band, if you think about it, technically the E Street Band was not working together. The Eagles weren't working together. Guns N' Roses weren't
Aerosmith
working together.
Aerosmith had this whole period where they came apart. Yeah.
Down a list, you know, but... in a weird way, you know, the gravitational pull gets everybody back together one more time. And, you know, and if it can, it does.
This one of the things that's very cool about your story that I'd heard about but didn't really understand completely until I saw the documentary series was that you're a kid, you know this is what you want to do, and so you manage to get a job working at this recording studio. Mm. And you're running errands.
Sure.
You're getting coffee. You're probably getting other illegal things for people as well. You're around it. Mm. And this is
at that level.
At that level. And I've always told young people are always saying to me, if they're interested in comedy, they say, well, how did you get into this? Or what do you think I should do? What's your advice? I say, go to where they're doing the thing that you love and be around it. Just get close to it. And if it means that you're getting paid next to nothing and you're getting coffee, do that.
You pay them.
Yeah. And so you were around in this studio.
Yeah.
And famous studio.
The Power Station.
The Power Station. Mm-hmm. And so you're around and you're 18, 19.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's Aerosmith. There's Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
These huge stars are around. Yeah. And you're the kid.
Yeah.
And... you're close to it, but I think it,
but far enough away because they weren't inviting you in,
right?
You know, for 9 out of 10 times, I looked through the control room door window. Freddie Mercury, David Bowie singing Under Pressure.
That's incredible.
I jumped out of a cab one time, paying with nickels and quarters, no lie, with my little band from a rehearsal studio, about to go up to the stairs of the recording studio to walk through the door. Paparazzi guy, as you were talking about, jumps out of a garbage can. He starts taking pictures of what was the Rolling Stones jumping out of their limo to go in the studio. The guy yells at Mick Jagger, Mick, give us a picture of the band. He grabs me and my friends, throws his arms around me, and he says, this is our new band, The Frogs. What I would give to find that picture 43 years.
It's out there somewhere. You got to figure.
I thought it was the guy, Ron Galella. Remember that guy?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought it was him for the longest time. He says, no, it wasn't me. But somebody jumped out of that dumpster. Somebody took that picture of, and if I'm not mistaken, it was Bill Wyman who held the door for us. And Mick said, yeah, go upstairs. And there was Rolling Stones in the lobby of this studio. Now, granted, we didn't get to hang out. We didn't get to talk, you know. But I was lucky enough in that period of time to be there. And having had several bands by that time, and when I'd gotten out of high school, that second cousin of mine is a guy that I didn't know before, came to see my band play at my father's behest. And he said, the band stink. The kids sort of got something, and stay in touch. And so for $50 a week, I called him, you know, in September after I graduated high school with no college on the horizon. He says, yeah, I'll give you $50 a week and come be a gopher. I was like, thank you, please. And I, you know, took the bus to New York every day and did that.
You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend. And my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know what brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check out brunch.
That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loudspeaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile. Okay. That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. This episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Not sure you've heard of them. Up-and-coming little restaurant. But they're making it. They're the little engine that could. You know, the moment of bliss when you spot your fries being scooped into the carton and suddenly time slows down. I have that all the time. I love their fries.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
McDonald's fries hit different when they're free. That's another thing I'll tell you. And when they belong to your friends. There's no better feeling than thinking you're out of fries and then you discover extra fries at the bottom of your bag. Or else my son still hasn't finished his fries.
Yeah.
And I'm done with mine. And he used to be weaker than me, so I could just take them.
Yeah.
Now I can't because he's stronger than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no wrong way to eat McDonald's fries, but we all think our way is the best way. And I like stealing them from someone else. That's my favorite way. Get your favorite McDonald's fries today. McDonald's. Check them out sometime. They're everywhere. You know me, Son. I love to grill up.
Yeah.
Some nice beef every now and then. I'm a grill master. Or sometimes the grill maestro, depends on which country you're in. Any hoots.
No one's called you that.
When I'm grilling stuff up, I needs my Miller Lite. I really do. And I like Miller Lite because they keep it simple. It's undebatable quality. It tastes as great as your barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the beer that strips away everything you don't need, holds on to what matters most. It's a light beer with the most taste, less filling, and only 96 calories.
That's good.
That's how I stay so lean. Humble brag. Anyway, the original light beer since 1975, a perfect companion for grill masters across America. So next time you're grilling up, grab your Miller Lite, chomp, chomp, nom, 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 and then slurp, slurp on the Miller Lite. Those sound effects really sold it with a Miller Lite in hand. Grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. Get Miller Lite delivered right to your door. Visit MillerLite.com/Conan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And hey, celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. I remember the first Comic Relief. I think they still have them, but for the first Comic Relief to raise money for unhoused people, that they had got every famous comedian in the world. And I think at the time I was 21, complete unknown, just getting started in LA, but I volunteered and ended up getting coffee for people, but I just wanted to be around it. I didn't ask anybody for a favor. I didn't say, hey, I think I'm pretty funny. You don't do that.
No.
You just be of service. You make yourself kind of indispensable to people, and then they start to say...
They're a little nicer to you.
They're a little nicer to you, and when you have that proximity to it, it probably made you think, this is achievable. This can be done.
We believed that in Jersey at, 17, 18. I believed that the band weren't together yet. It made the impossible possible. For me, because 25 miles south was the Asbury Jukes and the E Street Band.
Yeah,
it wasn't Led Zeppelin. That was just beyond the reach. That was too big. But those guys, and they were right down the street. And remember now, there was 10 Asbury Jukes and 7 East Street Band members. There was always going to be one of them bumming a beer from somebody somewhere.
Right.
So you couldn't help but run into them, even though, I was obviously the next generation. But, the first time Bruce jumped on stage with me, I was 17 years old.
It's an amazing. They actually have...
Photos, yeah.
There's photos of that.
Yeah.
You were singing, you're in a cover band, you're singing a Springsteen tune in New Jersey when this guy jumps on stage to grab the mic and sing with you, and it turns out to be Bruce Springsteen.
And it's him.
It's just like pretty unbelievable. Yeah. It doesn't happen a lot, I wouldn't think.
Oh, no. Well, then again, Bruce plays with a lot of people.
They've actually asked him to leave a couple of weddings.
What do you mean I have to go?
Bruce, yeah, just get out of here.
Just one more. Come on.
Yeah, but I have my horn section at late night for all those years. La Bamba, the guy
the
who for years sang, in the year 2000,
he was an original
They
Asbury
were the
Jukes
horn section.
You bet they
and,
were.
And
And Southside's still doing it, and he's doing it great, and he's in great spirits, and he's working and doing and being, and of course the E Street Band are still doing their thing. So it's, yeah, they're still doing it. It's great.
And it's funny because at that time, Asbury Jukes come along, Springsteen comes along, they didn't proudly say, we're from New Jersey.
No.
It wasn't something, it wasn't sexy.
No, it was the punchline.
You guys.
No, Bruce did.
Bruce did, but I'm saying as a group, all of you sort of made Jersey this magical place.
Well, he did. And so for the next generation, which is us, we're the next generation, not even a year or two or five or 10.
Right.
The next generation, you know, give all respect where it belongs. It's the E Street Band was everything. But, you know, for the next generation, yeah, Bon Jovi became a big worldwide band. Yeah.
Yes, I heard of you. Well, it's so cool because you put in all this work and all this time. It's the third album.
Yeah, isn't that the classic
Slippery
story?
When Wet that explodes.
Yeah,
and I remember
anybody.
This really clearly because it blew up just as my comedy career. I really get started in 86, yeah. Right around the time. And so I'm hearing that on the radio. What really struck me about that whole part of your life is now I see how much work went in before that.
Sure.
At the time, it just looked like, well, these guys
hit
it big, and this Jon Bon Jovi guy just lucked out, and now all the women in the world want to be with him. And now I see that it was this relentless struggle for, you know, what must have seemed to you like a long time before it finally hit. But then you're ready for it.
At every level of success, when you're playing a block dance, you think you're the king of the world. You know, I mean, just anytime you stepped on the stage, I'm sure you were happy to be in front of 30 people going, I'm the king of the world. I'm Conan O'Brien now. Yeah. And then all the way up that ladder.
If it was just 30 people, no. I was, and this was a problem for much of my career. I would scream at the crowd, why aren't there more? Why aren't there more? And then people would just leave, kind of bummed. That was a real roadblock for me. But no, but it felt like when that finally hit, and then you're playing stadiums, you're ready because you've done
well,
the work.
Well, yeah, you can do it over and over if you've got some chops by then, sure. But every step along the way, I swear to you, if I played a block dance, I thought that we had made it. You played the Fastlane, which was the place in Asbury where original bands played. And that was so my home club, which is no longer there, tore it down. But I thought we made it because we played there. You know, in every way, you know, getting a record deal, being opening act, opening for somebody at the Garden, you thought that was it. All the way up the ladder. And to this day, I don't think I've ever achieved the top of the ladder yet. Every day you want to do better. Not more, just you want to do better.
It's funny because that kind of intensity can be tough on people around you. You know, if you have that, it's not good enough. You know, or I think I could do better. I have a little bit of a negative voice in my head that's always saying, okay, that was all right. But other people are saying that was really good. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. And people check me on it all the time. And I realize it's not always fun to be around.
No.
But that's part of what it is.
Yeah, I've learned to be more comfortable and stuff around everybody and open to being vulnerable. I certainly will express to any and everybody, you know, I'm hurting. I could use the help, guys. And everybody's very supportive of that. But I won't accept mediocrity if I, you know, I want it to be the best it can possibly be. Who, you know, I can't do anything else.
I think that the part that is mind-boggling to me is that if you're playing an instrument, if you're playing the keyboards, if you're the bass player, and you keep your chops up, you can play that in a stadium. But you have to put the song across vocally.
Yeah.
And that's something where you start to run into, you're fighting Mother Nature at a certain point, which you show very honestly in the documentary how hard you have to work. At one point you have lasers treating your throat to kind of take the inflammation down, and the amount of work, the amount of vocal training you have to do you didn't have to do when you were 18, 25, 30.
40 or 50.
Yeah.
But it caught up. And again, you know, it's something that I work at every day. So I enjoy it too, though. I like doing it. You know, it's just sort of what I do, I guess, at this point. It's just ingrained in me. I don't know what I would do if I didn't do it. Not on the stage, not in the spotlight, but just singing and playing and writing. You know, it's not generated or motivated by the spotlight or the stage. It really isn't.
You have this new single.
Yeah.
And Legendary.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, at this point in, and I heard it today and loved it, but I was thinking to myself, how do you, at this point in your life, Do you walk around and play it for people on a guitar and say, what do you think of this? Do you have people you go to that you bounce it off of who you think are going to be honest with you?
Yeah, but...
Because I don't. No one will say... People just tell me, I just want to get paid.
Just tell you what to...
Yeah, it's just what gets me paid today. Exactly. And I say, just tell me it's great. And they say it's great. And then
it's great.
And then it sucks. And that's worked for me for years. But I would think at this point...
Even if I... As long as... I care enough. Look, our last album was called 2020, and I put it into this black hole called COVID, and it came out right. I couldn't promote it in any way. I couldn't tour it. It was a very topical record. It wasn't an upbeat record. I'm writing songs about George Floyd and about COVID and about gun violence, and my audience was like, cool, no hits. Why? And I go, well, depressing songs, about the mood
things
of the
that
world
are really
at the
happening.
Time.
Yeah.
But here's the diary of my life at that time. And so, you write these songs, and I'm very, very proud of the record. Now I'm in a better mood, so we can go out, and I don't have to sit home and drink. I can go out, and so,
I prefer to drink at home.
Yeah, I got
alone.
Good at that.
And I'll tell you, people say that's not good, but
no, it's really good.
You should try it.
You don't have to share any.
You don't have to share. The whole bottle's yours. And you have all these great ideas, and you start yelling. You write them down, and then in the morning they just look like gibberish. But I get to talk to so many people whose work I admire and who've achieved these great things. And what you're saying resonates exactly with what Neil Young told me not too long ago on this podcast, which is he told me that whatever's happening to me right now, it's not my business whether or not it's a big commercial thing or
right.
not. You can have hits, not have hits, but what you're giving people is what is available to you and to them at that time.
That's all that mattered. Otherwise, you're going to write the Macarena.
Yeah.
If you're chasing hits, you're going to write the Macarena. I mean,
I forgot about the Macarena.
Great song. No.
guy's doing it. There's a guy in the front row doing it. Or he's having some kind of attack. I think he's off his meds. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to chase hits. Yuck. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be interested.
You know you've made it because you can sometimes probably, everybody, no matter what they've achieved, can still question, did I really get there? You have a rest area named after you on the Garden State Parkway. Now that, to me... That's fantastic.
I'm with you.
We arrested the suspect at the John Bon Jovi rest area.
I stand on the side of the road. I welcome people in to go, and I direct them to the men's room, the ladies' room.
You should be there to give people shoulder massages.
I hand them towels when they're washing their hands. You didn't wash your hands. Come back here.
Yeah. I also didn't realize that you guys played in I think it was 1989, you played in the Soviet Union.
We did.
Which is absolutely unbelievable to me. Before the wall came down, you guys were there.
We were.
And I lit
the torch at Lenin Stadium.
I mean, this is at a time when rock bands were not allowed to go into the Soviet Union. And I would bet that would be a very appreciative audience.
They were. Now, you got to remember, the Soviet Union, if you even thought of having an album as we knew it, you would be imprisoned. There was kids that had lists on a piece of paper that were very small because if the KGB came up at that time, they would crumple and knead it.
Right.
So there was more security on the catering backstage than there was on any band's dressing room because they were like, if they see the Hard Rock Cafe's cheeseburgers and French fries, there will be a fucking riot.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're playing at this, festival with these other bands, and nobody gave a shit about that, because the security was truly, crying when they saw the kinds of food. So we went to the Soviet Union, and it was a part of a deal that my first manager, who was arrested for smuggling a lot of drugs and whatever.
We've all done it.
So... To keep him out of jail, I had to go to the Soviet Union. But that's another story.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You can't just toss that off. So he was in a lot of trouble, and if you went to the Soviet Union, he would not be in
crazy,
trouble.
Crazy, I don't know how he did this, but my first manager got into some trouble with the law, honest to God, he was accused of smuggling, I don't know, some incredible amount of tons of marijuana into America.
If you're going to do something, go all out.
Like, I'm talking like hundreds of, like a lot of dope. And somehow his plea bargain was to take, you know, the young cute kid and throw him to the wolves and the judge. And then he says, and I've got an idea. We'll go to the Soviet Union and promote, you know, peace and harmony and blah, blah, blah. And please, Your Honor, don't put me in prison. And so I had to go in the snow to the Soviet Union and say, we're coming.
Yeah.
And he put a package together with some of his acts and some of his friends. And we went and played. It was a crazy story. He never went to prison.
Right. It's a good, happy ending.
Yeah.
He went on to move a lot more drugs.
Right. Crazy story, but true story.
So it's been 40 years,
yeah.
15 studio albums. Is that right?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Mm. And like I say, the thing that I related to the most is, because I'm right there with you, similar vintages, I'm always trying to find something I'm passionate about. And if I can find that and I can find something that interests me, that's good enough. You know what I mean? Like that. And that's, you have to really work at it. You have to keep trying. And I took a lot of inspiration from your documentary because I thought,
well,
this is a guy who has put in the work over and over and over again.
Well, thanks. I don't know about you, but I could have been very comfortable. And I mean this, working at the auto body shop, or my father was a hairdresser, my mother had a little retail shop. I was very, very comfortable, confident in who I was and what my life could be. But I loved this thing, which was, you know, singing in a rock band. And I'm the only one in my family that ever did. It wasn't like we had a musical household, but that was my love. It wasn't I was drawn to it for celebrity. It's just, I just needed it in the morning.
Yeah.
So otherwise I really could have been happy. It's not driven by anything other than the sheer love of it.
Yeah. When I meet young people, and especially in this age of the cell phones and the Instagram and influencers, and I meet people and they tell me they're interested in doing something, I said, well, what is it? And when they tell me that their interest is being famous, when that's the first thing they mention, I think, I don't know what that is, because that's a clear broth. There's no nutrients in that.
Nothing.
That's people in a restaurant looking up, seeing you, and then looking back down at their food for a second. You have to love the thing that you're doing, and that has to drive it.
I'm sure they love that thing that they're doing, but what exactly is it, you know? I'd like to think that what we're trying to do is leave something behind. Mm-hmm. You know, all the people that you made smile over the years is leaving something behind. You impacted all those people for generations now. Mm-hmm. You know, Conan, you made people laugh. Yeah, and that's a gift that you gave back. Looking hot in an Instagram picture is pretty shallow. You know, it used to be.
I'd like to have both.
But I would love to have both.
I'd like to look so hot in an Instagram photo. It just doesn't look.
Yeah,
it's just this Irish face is collapsing in on itself. You're a very generous guy. He plays a lot of benefits. I think I've been at maybe 10 different benefits over the years where you've shown up and played. And when you're playing your music, just watching people jump up on their feet and sing along. And one of the coolest things I ever saw is I was standing near your wife, Dorothy, and I think you started to play one of your, you know, many hits, and she jumped up and started singing along. And I thought, my wife doesn't do that. My wife's like, whatever. You think he's funny? All right. But I love that, you know, you guys have been together forever, that she seems like your biggest fan, which I thought was very cool.
Well, she's my most honest fan. You know, she'll tell you when it sucks. You know, absolutely tells me when it's not good. So that's the best thing. It's, look, we've been together since high school, for God's sake, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's a good thing. But she's no bullshit. She doesn't do the Insta either, so she don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's better to leave that all out there and on the stage. It's not what we bring home.
Now, I have to bring this up because I'm a very enthusiastic wine drinker.
Yeah.
And I know that you have you started a wine business, and you've come out with this rosé,
And I'm bringing this up because apparently this thing is huge. This rosé is huge. It's called Hampton Water.
Hampton Water is really big. It's really my son's company. I get to be Santa Claus. I come in for the photo op.
You know? And the tastings.
Everyone wants to sit on my lap and take a picture. and then HR comes in.
Yeah. You know? And by the way, thanks for letting me do that.
Yeah, exactly.
The show.
I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. You weren't supposed to grind on my lap when you sat down with a picture.
It's when I started bouncing that you got upset.
I'm on Bon Jovi's lap.
It's funny because this is a true story. Like sometimes different singers or actors are associated with like a really cool liquor.
Right.
And I remember a couple of years ago, my manager was like, "You got to get in on this," and I said, "No one's gonna buy a tequila or a whiskey because it's associated with Conan O'Brien." And he was like, "Well, we got to think of something." And I went, "We don't really have to think of something. I'm fine." He's like, "You're not thinking straight, Clooney." And he starts yelling about all the people who've made all this money. Probably shouted your name too. "I'm telling you, you know, John Bon Jovi's killing it. You got to do something." And I got, and then he called me up later and he was like, "Hair pomade."
Now, wait a minute.
And I was like, "Wait a minute. So you're the businessman here. Do you want to go in?"
Yeah.
Because you've got
you
iconic.
And I have a history.
You have
in the
iconic hair.
In the, yeah.
Yeah. I have, you know, hair that's, it's a punchline, but it's gotten me through. And so I think, you know, let me know.
There's an opportunity.
I think people would get the Conan pomade.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see the wheels turning right now.
I'm there.
You're going to call me later tonight, aren't you?
Yep.
And tell me it's a really stupid idea. All right. Well, I want to make sure I get the word out here.
Cool.
Check out Bon Jovi's new single, Legendary, as well as the four-part docuseries, Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story, which I recommend because it's really a terrific document and also just kind of, to me, a how-to of...
Well,
yes, you get the luck. You get, I mean, you clearly were born with all these gifts, but then you made sure, you made absolutely sure that that success had every opportunity to happen just through working your ass off.
No, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the years of friendship. It's been great to see you and your audience today. But
I don't know who these people are.
Oh, they're waiting on
really,
something.
Yeah, some of them came as far as Boca Raton to be here.
Oh, I heard that.
That's the kind of fan base I have.
Yeah, but the guy said it took him an hour and a half to drive here. You should have said it took 8 hours to drive here because the freaking drive down this highway. You
is
had to
bad?
Take the train.
Take the train?
Yeah, you got to take the train.
I haven't, you know, I can't leave my hotel because of the paparazzi.
Yeah.
I mean, the paparazzi not being interested.
Right.
Hey, man, thank you so much for doing it.
Oh, it's a joy. Thank you,
everybody. It's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know what brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. Thank you. This episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Not sure you've heard of them. Up-and-coming little restaurant. But they're making it. They're the little engine that could. You know, the moment of bliss when you spot your fries being scooped into the carton and suddenly time slows down. I have that all the time. I love their fries.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
McDonald's fries hit different when they're free. That's another thing I'll tell you. And when they belong to your friends. There's no better feeling than thinking you're out of fries and then you discover extra fries at the bottom of your bag. Or else my son still hasn't finished his fries.
Yeah.
And I'm done with mine. And he used to be weaker than me, so I could just take them.
Yeah.
Now I can't because he's stronger than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's no wrong way to eat McDonald's fries, but we all think our way is the best way. And I like stealing them from someone else. That's my favorite way. Get your favorite McDonald's fries today. McDonald's. Check them out sometime. They're everywhere. So much better than me. It's infuriating. I couldn't even think. I kept falling in love with him as I was speaking to him.
Oh, you're very handsome too, right, guys? Come on.
That was horrible.
Sorry.
I hated that.
I'm just trying to help you out.
You're not bad looking, too.
I'm sorry.
Right, everybody?
I'm sorry.
There's $100 in it for each of you. If you applaud his rotting skull. Quiet, you.
Now we're going to take a few questions from the audience.
Oh, yeah. Sure. This is where I get to find out what's going on. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Kaya.
Hi, Kaya.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. I'm just can't believe you're there. So. I'm sorry.
Look, I can get even closer.
I'm trying
Look,
not
Kaya.
To. So in the game.
Hold it. Did your phone just go off? What the hell? You're running my social media empire, and your phone just went off? I'm so sorry. Do I have a microphone so I can stand? Is that okay?
Yes,
Play?
Of course.
Is that right?
Here, take this one.
Hello, hello. There we go. This thing's on. Yes, I'll stand closer to you so you can really see. Is this too much for you?
No,
it's okay. It's okay. And this is what women do when I get close to them. They go, no! Oh!
I
see its veins!
Not at all.
His
not
face
at all.
Is invisible!
No.
How are you? What's going on?
I have a terrible question now. Okay, so in the game, fuck, marry, kill.
What?
You heard the game.
In the game, yes. I play this with my grandchildren all the time. Before you go to bed, little ones, we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
In the game, if you can only pick male comedians, only male comedians.
Only male comedians, yeah.
Yes. Who would you choose? And a bonus if you choose Flula as one. But that's a wild card.
Oh, man. Flula Borg. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but he's a hilarious... Yeah. He'd be, maybe I would go with Flula for sexual relations because he is just, he's chiseled, you know? Yeah. He's like a piece of Bavarian furniture. I don't even know what that means. I apologize. Then do I do the other two as well?
Yes.
Okay. So who would I marry? Let's see. I think I'm going to marry Bill Hader because he just does bits. He does such great impressions all the time that I would feel like I was constantly with a different partner. And we're never real with each other. Whenever he comes over to my house, he's like, yes, Mr. O'Brien. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm with a new person. This is fantastic. And then who am I going to kill? Okay, let's see. Who am I going to murder? There's so many that I want to murder.
The list is so long.
Yeah, I would. No, I'm going to murder Jack McBrayer. I love him. I love him, but I just want him to hear that I said I'm going to get him. And he's another person who I'm never real with. I'm always like, I'll point to an elevator when I'm with Jack, and I'll say, does it scare you because it's a moving room? Did they not have that back on the farm? And he's so funny. He'd be like, sir, I know what an elevator is. And we just do that back and forth like idiots for hours. So, but he needs to be murdered. I'm going to murder him. Okay, that's a good question. Hello. Oh, I'll get you. Yes, this woman next, and then you, and I'll take care of everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I love your hair.
Thank you.
You look fantastic.
In the dark. Thank you.
Yeah. That's so cool. How did you do that? You
have someone I paid too much money for did it for me because I don't trust myself.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's cool. It's you have a fringe of gold around your face. It's beautiful. It's like halo effect. It's
ooh,
very nice.
Slay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to have the same thing done to my hair.
You can have it. We'll trade.
Okay. You don't want this. This is a curse.
We'll see what happens.
So what's your name?
Sammy.
Hey, Sammy.
Hi.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks
a lot. I have a twofold. So I really like the Muppets. Which Muppet do you sincerely relate to? And then would that Muppet play you in a biopic?
Oh, my God. I wish I knew the Muppets well enough. I think it would be Cookie Monster because I eat very quickly. I grew up, I was one of six, and they would put food out. And like Cookie Monster, I just throw the food at my mouth, and it all comes falling out. It like, you know, so I'm a very, right, you can attest that I'm a very fast eater. I eat things like very fast, and I always, when I see Cookie Monster eat, anyone who knows me knows that that's Conan, you know, there's like a ham sandwich and I'm just throwing it at my mouth and there's just a big piece of felt that blocks it from going in. And just,
it's impressive.
Cookie Monster, he wastes so much food. Those cookies go flying right out of his mouth. So yeah, and I would want him to play me in the biopic, yeah. Or maybe he would, I don't know. He'd have to do like a swat, because I look more like Elmo. You know?
We'll hold an audition.
What's that?
We'll hold an audition.
Okay. We'll figure it out. But that's my answer for now. Yes, you have a question.
My name is Delaney.
Hey, Delaney. Cool name. That's your first name.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Because your first name's a last name. Is your last name a first name?
Unless Costello is a first name.
No, Delaney Costello. Yeah. That's a cool name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Also Irish.
Oh, sorry. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm bragging.
No one's bragging. You're just identifying the disease, and we're going to talk about it.
So we didn't plan this. I have a question about the Muppets, too.
Something about my fans.
And
I don't have the most mature fans.
Fair,
okay,
especially
so you have a Muppet
this question too.
All right.
So if you had to kiss a Muppet, which one would you kiss and why?
No, definitely Snuffleupagus.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I went to Sesame Street once to tape something years and years ago, and I saw Snuffleupagus when he wasn't being operated, and he was hanging from the ceiling. They like hang him up there. And he was looked like one of Hannibal Lecter's victims. It was the most freakish thing, and I felt so terrible for Snuffleupagus that part of me wants to see him alive and then embrace him and kiss him and cover him with caresses. Because what I saw just shocked me. It was horrifying. It was like someone was leaving, it was like a mob guy was leaving a threat. Like, we did this to Snuffleupagus, and we're going to do it to you next if you don't come across. So anyway... I'd like to see Snuffleupagus alive because that sort of traumatized me. And then the idea that we would have a romantic liaison.
Sounds like you've thought about this a lot.
It's all I think about. I was just backstage thinking about it. And then when I was with Jon Bon Jovi, I was thinking about a threesome with Snuffleupagus.
Is this why you didn't go out last night?
Because he's so big that, you know, you'd lose Jon Bon... You wouldn't even know Jon Bon Jovi's there for a while, and then... He'd sort of, whoa, I didn't know. And then he'd go back into something. What are we doing? Is this any way to behave? I don't think so, Delaney. If that's even your real name. I don't think it is. Uh-oh, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Emily.
Hi, Emily.
I'm so nervous. I'm so happy to talk
to you. Oh, don't be nervous. It's just me.
To make you feel better, though, I did have to leave at 11:30 this morning and didn't get here till 4:45. So
what?
You're welcome.
Wait. Where were you coming from?
Central Florida.
So is it the traffic? Is
yes.
that what the problem is?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do the next time I do one of these is send all the fans that get tickets sirens.
Yes.
That you can put on the roof of your car.
It would have been helpful.
You all get here in like 8 minutes.
If any cop stops you, you'd be like, no, it's my Conan podcast siren. Yes.
So where I live is part of the largest retirement community in America, which is called The Villages, which is a crazy place.
Why but is everyone making noises?
Because everybody hates it.
No, they're
crazy.
Older generation gets it on.
It's yes. That is my question.
What are you? Why are you waving? This man's got a story to tell. What did they do to you?
They have the highest STD rate, I think, in America.
Everyone seems to know about this.
Yeah.
Why am I having no fun?
Well, my question...
They only use golf carts to travel.
They probably do it in the golf carts, too. My God. This is fantastic, and everyone seems to know about it.
They use a loofah system that they attach to their golf carts that lets the other people know what they're into, like swinging or anal or oral. So my question for you is
we're not going to get to your... You're not asking a question now until we fully examine what's happening here. You're now the guest. I'm going to cancel. We're not even going to air Jon Bon Jovi. This is all going to be an expose on what's this place called?
The Villages.
The Villages. They use a loofah system?
They do. So
But the loofahs aren't involved in the sexual acts,
they? They could be.
Sure.
But so they have different, whatever color they have. You can look online. They have a color coded
system. I'm going to look online immediately.
And so they'll have that attached to their golf cart, so when they're driving around, somebody can be like, oh, they're into swinging. Let's go hook up with them.
Yes.
So my question is,
what is the minimum age when you can be accepted to this, what sounds like a wonderland?
You are old enough.
What's that?
You are old enough to be there.
I wish you had said not old enough.
Sorry.
Okay. I wish you had said, oh, Conan, don't be silly. You have to be much older than you are. So really, I could get in at my age.
Yes, you could.
Okay. Yes. Now, can I get a place there and kind of visit every now and then?
Yes.
So I don't have to stay there.
Most of them are snowbirds in that they only come during the winter and then they go back up north during the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you know so much about this?
I work for the county that it's in.
So you're a whistleblower. We're here at like a historic... Delaney, write all this down. Why do you... Only my fans then pretend to write. She's blowing the roof off a criminal ring, and you're doing bits where you space write something in an improv class? We're going
to
go there, all of us, and stop this madness or participate.
Yes.
Oh, I think we're going to participate. Definitely, this is a participation crowd. Oh, my God. Well, I don't want to be ageist. I think whatever age you are, you know, good for you. You know what I'm saying? But, oh, my God. You went into such detail about what they're up to. Swinging, and then you said all this other stuff, and I blacked out for a minute. Okay, you did have a question, and then I'm going to have a follow-up question for you.
Okay.
Just about application process,
sure.
How long does it take? Is it anonymous? That kind of thing. Because I don't want it getting out that I'm seeing a woman who fought in the Korean War. Man, Edna and I really got it on last night. So what's up? What's going on?
So my question is, if you were a member of the Villages, what
It'd be so great if your question wasn't about that at all.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Do you like oatmeal cookies? With raisins or without? Go ahead. Okay.
What would you want your loofah to tell the other villagers that you're into?
Well, I don't know what they mean. Do you really know what the different loofahs mean? White is novice and beginners. Purple is voyeur and people who like to watch. Pink, soft rap, people who like to do it with others in the room. And then there's more. Blue, lowest level of swap. Those who can play well with others. Well, that sounds like me. Here we go. Yellow, mid-level swap for those who want to have fun but are still nervous. I would be very nervous that someone's hip would fall off. Full swap, those who say, what the hell, let it all go down. Teal. Bisexual, for those who want to increase their dating chances. Is that it? Okay. That's enough. That's a lot. That's a lot of loofahs. This is incredible. This is absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, Triumph needs to go there. That's a really good idea.
Yes. Let me on. Solid, the last time you had sex, you were with Nancy Lincoln. Yes. You suck! You take your teeth out before... Hey, that's enough, Triumph.
What's this? I don't know. I'd say black. Full swap. Those who say, what the hell, let it all go down. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Not because it's hard, because it's easy.
Can I ask for like a handshake or something?
What's that?
Can I ask for a handshake or something?
It's going to end with a handshake?
No. Yeah, just...
We discussed anal and ear sex and all kinds. Yeah, come on over. We'll have a quick... Yeah, here we go. Thank you. Let's do a quick hug here. Seriously, I have a lot of more questions for you. We'll figure that out. I didn't... You guys seem to all know about this place. It's incredible. I would love it if we all went together. Because I don't want to go alone. I want to have people from Boca Raton with me. And then other people from an area near Boca Raton. And then other people that were in traffic all day. God, that's incredible. We've got to go there. I've got to see what's going on. Incredible. History in the making. Okay. They really are the greatest generation, aren't they? They got us through the Depression. They won World War II. And they're still out there. Oh, don't make things with your finger. Just cut it out. Grow up. You guys were really nice. You were also delightfully weird. What an odd group. Seriously, your questions were fantastic. And I am legitimately... I always say this, but I really mean it. I have, like, the funniest fans in the world. They're super nice and smart, but they're also very funny. And so lucky to have you guys come here and be hilarious improvisers. And I know that's not your name. I'll see you guys next time, all right? We'll see you around. Bye-bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right. Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.